In our study, we have coming to the end of Revelation 4 and 5, which has to do with the throne room in heaven. What is it like after the church is taken up to be with the Lord? What is going to happen? How is it going to happen? In Revelation 4 and 5, we visited the throne room, and we visited God the Father, chapter 4. And we visit God the Son, chapter 5. And in the process of the outworking of that, it's a glorious, awesome, wonderful occasion. And the result of that, chapters 4 and 5, the magnificence of it, is the outworking of the tribulation. And that precedes, preempts the tribulation. The glory and grandeur of God, the grace of God, precedes the day of wrath in a marvelous way. Now, having said that, we shared together all the way down where we were in verse 11 and 12, and I'll read it just to get the sense. And I beheld, verse 11, I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. And we share together the immense, and all of that numbering has to do with angels. Angels are numbered 10,000 times 10,000, 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million and 10,000 times 10,000. How many millions, how many billions? And then thousands and thousands and a thousand thousands, a million and a thousand thousands with no count, no count. Who knows? God, there are a lot of them. A lot of them. And wonderfully so. And thus, in the light of that, what are they saying? They're like the chorus, the background. Here's the church and looking and honoring. The believers are looking and honoring the one, the little lamb slaughtered before the foundation of the world. Looking at that little lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his magnificence, he was humbled, and in his magnificence, he is exalted. The little lamb is none other than the Son of God. And remember that little lamb. The word little lamb isn't a full lamb, it's a little baby lamb. And that is the word used all the way to the rest of all during the tribulation. That is the term to identify the author and the executor of this tribulation is the little lamb. The little lamb, the one that is rejected. Thus, in verse, what are they saying in verse 12? With a loud voice, worthy, worthy, balancing. He is the one to equal God's righteous demands, he being God himself, God the Son, saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, slaughtered, his appearance as one, a lamb sacrificed, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And thus we looked at them and we shared together the power, the dynamic, the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence. He has all omnipotence. Omnipotence. If anyone has power, he has all of power. And when it comes to riches, wealth, abundance, he has it all. All. Everything is his. All the cattle on 1,000 hills. Every bug, every snowflake, every drop of sand, every star, every particle of dust in the universe is his. He is wealthy, wealthy, abundance, abundance. That's why when he speaks, he doesn't tell us, add to your add. He speaks, grace and peace be multiplied, multiplied. God is never stingy, never stingy. We're stingy. God is never stingy. What God does is abundant, abundant, abundant. Why? Because he's an all-sufficient God. So God has to do what he does in abundance, in abundance, in abundance. Thus. And wisdom, 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 omniscience. He knows. He knows, has all knowledge, and knows how to use all knowledge. Wisdom, wisdom. We share together strength, and strength he has. Strength, power, power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ability, might. Power, what? Power, strength, wisdom, riches, and honor. In verse 12, honor. And honor has to do with the price, the value, the estimate. The price, the reverence, value. God, who is equal to you? That's why when he shed his blood, silver and gold could not save you. But the precious value of his blood shed, that could pay the ransom price for your redemption. The shed blood, riches, precious, rich blood, wealthy blood. Thus, and then we have the glory and blessing. Over, if you would just take a look to remind you, over in Ephesians 1, in Ephesians chapter 1. The glory, remember, glory, wealth, worth, weight, that which makes someone, you have to pay attention to something or someone because of the glory of it. The glory of the sun, you would pay attention in the sky. It's bright, it's brilliance, especially at in the height of it. Wow, the sun, wow. The glory of God, the brilliance of God, the weight, worth, wealth. That which demands your attention, that which makes an impression that we can't walk away from. Remember the first time it's used in Genesis, the word glory. Abraham had herds of camels and sheep and goats and cattle and all of it. And when you looked out, when he stood there, because he didn't have a little high penthouse, when you looked out, you would have seen, instead of seeing grass, plain of grass, you'd see animals and animals and animals and animals and animals and animals. And when you looked, that was the glory of Abraham. Abraham, his wealth. Every way you look, animals, his wealth. Our Lord, the glory that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, and you notice it. What is our responsibility as believers? Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved. Highly favored, accepted. Verse 12, the glory of his grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ again. Verse 14, which is the Spirit of God, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's the believing heart, unto the praise of his glory. God, why are you going to finish what you start? For the glory, the praise of his glory, that we are to be for his glory. We are to be to the glory of his grace in a most wonderful way. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. All that he has created, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth his handiwork. Vice versa. The heavens, the glory of creation. Marvelous so. We're to do all to the glory of God. John, in John 17 and 22, before he is ascended, what did he say? He said, in order to equip us, how could we represent him who has such glory? The glory which I have, 17 and 22, I give to you. I give to you the glory in myself. I am a glorious God. When you receive me as your Savior, I am going to be glorious in you. And you're going to be changed from one degree of glory to another. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to give you the glory, the magnificence of God. And that's why we look to him and trust him, because of who he is. God, you are, wow. How would we ever know you? Because of your Son. Because of the little lamb. That's how we're going to know you. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over in Ephesians 1:3, while you're here, Ephesians 1 and in verse 3, you will notice, please, blessed be the God and Father. Remember, blessing, blessing, blessing is his. Blessing. To speak well of the God, the blessing of God. All blessing is his. And now, what did you do, God? What are we supposed to know as believers having this glory? Verse 3, 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, there's your word, with all spiritual blessing, there's your word, in heavenly places in Christ. God, verse 1, blessed, there it is, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The blessings. All blessings belong to you, God. You gave us your glory. In giving us your glory, you give us all of the benefits of yourself. You know Ephesians 4:7. You're right there. Why not turn it? Ephesians 4:7. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And the believing heart, every believing heart, in order to be saved, has to have a unique personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And thus, the Lord Jesus Christ provides the fullness of God for every believer. There is nothing lacking in any believer, young or old, if they're saved. They have as much God of God as anyone else does. All of God in Christ. God brings himself in his fullness into the heart. And that brings all the blessings of heaven with it. Wow. All the blessings of the Son of God. Now, keep in mind, if you would, over in Revelation, if you would, chapter 5. Revelation 5. And you'll notice in verse 12 that when you count them, there are seven nouns: power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. Seven. And seven is the magic, not magic, it is the number. Number that God, of all the numbers, seven. Seven stands out in God's word. Seven. What do you mean seven? Where does seven come from? It comes from the verb to be full, to be satisfied, to have enough, completeness, fullness, perfection. That's the verb. Out of that verb, perfection, satisfaction, completeness, comes the number seven. Number seven. 7 days. In 7 days, God, on the seventh day, God rested. On the seventh day. He had finished. He had completed. He did the job. Everything had to be done in 6 days. On the seventh day, it was finished. Nothing needed to be added to it. It was complete, finished, perfect. Anything to do, to play with it, would mar it, would lose its wonderfulness. 7 days. The rainbow, seven colors, in order to make light. Music. Seven notes. And music in the rainbow in the days. When you say eight, it goes back to seven, doesn't it? Seven, and you go to the eighth day. You don't say 8 days, you go back to seven. Back to starting all over again. You do that with a rainbow. You finish the colors and go back to the colors. You finish with music, you go back to the note. Back to the top note. You finish. Seven, complete, wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates the fullness, the completeness of God. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing. There's just, he's absolutely God in all of his fullness. And in that wonderful way, the angels are going to sing such words, power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. They are going to sing it. They are going to say it. Now, having said that, verse 13, and every creature, how much every, which is in heaven, on earth, under the earth, such as are in or on the sea, and all that are in them, all them, all creation, what is all creation going to do? All creation is going to go, and I heard saying, what did you hear, John? I heard what was being said, blessing and honor and glory. There are your words again, blessing, and each time now you have the little word the in front of them, the blessing, the glory, the honor, all of them, one, the. He is the sum total of all glory, all blessing, all honor, all power. He is the sum total of it. Apart from God, there isn't any, because God created it. God owns it all. And thus, in verse 13, so in the light of that, the angels are saying, and thus every single creature on the earth. And then you have the word power, which is a different word than up in verse 12, a strength, power. You have a different word which has to do with strength, power, might, same word like that. Working of his, it would be used without turning there in Ephesians 1 and 19. The mighty power. God rose him from the dead in mighty power. Power. Life. The word life, power. That's what he did. So what? Verse 13. All creation is, John, what did you hear? Every creation, that's right. It's going to be. Where will there be in creation that it won't happen? It isn't happening, but it will. It is present, looking into the future. Wow. What did you see? All creation must recognize and honor and give credit to God, to whom blessing, honor, power, glory, strength belongs to you, the one sitting on the throne. Not only the one sitting on the throne, that's God the Father, and unto the Lamb, both Father and Son, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, ever. That means the boundless, timeless life, endless duration, endless eternity, everlasting. How long is it going to be? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You're going to see it in verse 14. At the end of the verse, him that liveth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, all ages unto ages unto ages, life unto life unto life, eternal life. So when you come now, that person, him, slide over to verse chapter 4, verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever and ever, again, verse 10, you going to do it again? And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and ever, age upon age upon age, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thus, chapter 13, verse 5, they are looking to God and honoring God the Father. They are honoring God the Son. He was sitting, the one sitting on the throne. And the Lamb of God, standing there to take the scroll. He has the scroll to them. God the Father, God the Son. Honor and honor and honor. Now, what are they saying? Well, he's a wonderful person. And he sits on the throne. He sits on the throne forever and ever and ever, age upon age upon age. And so what are we doing? We're looking to God, waiting for God to deal with our heart. Here we are, right here. That's right. Now, you know, here we are, and but saying, but what, that's an awesome thing that they're doing there, to honor God like that. God's magnificent. He is. He's the only God and the only Savior. He's the Creator. The Creator, Creator of billions of galaxies, of bugs and flowers, birds and beasts. The Creator of your hand, of your heart, of your kidneys, of the systems of your body. the Creator. To Him be glory and honor. Wow. Now, what do we have? What advantage does a believer have? Well, here I am. Here you are. Do you know, I look back, how is it possible that I could even read this passage and understand that I'm going to participate in that? And you are, if you're saved. Because, looking back to the cross, back those years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, Christ died. Do you know when He died yesterday, back then? I was there. I hadn't been born. But Christ took me to the cross back then. Did He? Did He take you? Then, did He take you to the cross? I was there. True. Were you? I was there. That's right. Now I'm here. That's right. The life that you made possible there is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ who is our life shall appear. Wow. I'm here. The life that you provided by your resurrection and your death is here. Right now. And. I'm looking, God, in the light of tomorrow, in the light of what I'm reading. At any moment, at any time, you are going to take me from here to there. Even until I'm here, I'm going to be here until I'm there. Gone. The life that I have now is to be enjoyed magnificently there. You see? I'm to have that life, eternal life, a wonderful life, to you, with you, God. So you see, I was there yesterday. I have life today. And here I am having life, looking forward to being there and having the fullness of life, being able to be expressed, experienced, and enjoyed, underline. Wow. That's where I am. Wow. And thus, church, what are you going to do if you were there? When we're there, what can we anticipate in response to the privilege we have? Well, verse 14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And thus, God, what did they do? The 24 elders, the church, as it were, fell prostrate, as opposed to standing up, fell down and worshipped. That means to be prostrate, used of a dog crouching down before his master. And out of it, you get this word to prostrate oneself, to crouch, to worship, to bow down before God. And there were still, they did then and prostrate themselves. People still do today, prostrate themselves to the God, whoever He is, in their mind, and they do that. That was a habit, a way to show reverence to a civic power, politician, governor, prince, king. You'd bow to worship. You'd bow. Even to Baal, you'd bow. Bow to show reverence. Well, what are they going to do? What does the church do? What are we going to do? Well, we bow down. We bow down and worship. Worship. We respect and appreciate who He is. And you know, now, well, how are we going to benefit from that? Because we are going to bow down perfectly, and our heart is going to be right. Our heart will be wonderfully, I don't even know if I could use the word humbled. Humbled. And when it is perfectly humbled, it'll be perfectly exalted. You and I can bow down now, and we don't. You go down low so you can look up high. You don't want to be man-sized. You want to be, let God be God-sized. Wow. God, You are something else. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See? The Lord is an ever-present help in time of trouble. My refuge, my strength, my God. Wow. When I say God, I want to understand more and more. What am I saying? God. How am I going to know you, God? By way of your Son. Thus, now, what else can I know? Well, please note in chapter 5 and verse 14, what am I going to know? Well, we did the church. Now, before you do that, the four beasts said, Amen. The four living creatures around the throne. And they said, Amen. That's what they said. Now, here's all of this going on forever and ever and ever. The praise and the glory, the perfection, the fullness of God in the person of Christ. Wow. Now, so it said, what did the four beasts do? They said, Amen, Amen. And thus it comes, Amen, remember, comes from the word to support. Think of the word to prop something up. To support it. Support is the key word for amen. Support. To have make firm, to make supported, to support, to make sure, to make true, to make reliable, to make count, you can count constant reliability, unfailingness of what it is. God, you are absolutely unfailing true. To the truth of God and the God of truth, you are unfailing. You are amen, amen, amen. Now, in order to get that and enjoy that, what were they saying that we can do? That, and remember, amen, that which is personally possessed. Something is personally possessed that can be possessed. And in possessing it, it possesses you. You see, I possess the bulletin. And the bulletin possesses me. Amen. If you got that, you have amen. Amen is the binding to oneself of someone or something to possess and be possessed by whatever it is, the truth of God. Thus, would you please note, in the light of that, over, if you would, Revelation chapter 1. They're saying amen, 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 amen. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, remember, amen binds. Amen binds God to his word. God gives his word. Amen. So be it. He is bound to his word. His word is bound to him. He's the living word, bound. Now, so when we come along, the angels come along, what are they saying? What are the living creatures saying? Amen. Amen. God, all of this is true about you. All of it is true about you. It belongs to you, and you belong to the truth of it. It belongs together. Amen. Amen about you, God. Amen to all of the truth of all that you are. 1 and 6, Revelation. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. To him made us kings and priests. So be it. You reach out and grab it. And then you amen it. And let it be yours. I'm part of that. And it is part of me. Amen. It isn't just a flippant amen. It means something wonderful, 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 a binding, a being bound. Verse 7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He's coming. He's coming. That one who's pierced, the little lamb that was slain, slaughtered. See him. See him. Come. Who is he? Oh, Revelation 4 and 5. He is the one. Amen, say the living creatures. He's the one. He's God. God become flesh. Beyond us angels and creatures. Flesh and blood. Resurrected. And here's the church. Flesh and blood. Less than angels in that sense. Honoring him. Honoring who he is. Wow. Bound. Bound to him. Over to Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. God is bound to his word. God is bound to his people. And we just read in Ephesians 1 and 14. The Spirit of God paid a price to possess the believing heart. That the believing heart, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, would be bought with a price. Purchased by his shed blood, would belong to God, would belong to God. The person would belong to God, and God would possess the person. And God, the Holy Ghost, said, "You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God's." You see? Bind. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing. They said amen to all of it. It's true, real, right. Wow. Ah, chapter 22. And in verse 20. 22 and in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm coming quickly. Do you agree with me? I agree. I agree. I'm bound to what you said. I'm bound to what you said. And you're bound to what you've said to me. I'm bound to you said it. And that truth is mine. Mom, yours, to hold that truth. And you gave it. And I have it. Amen. Amen. You see? Truth. Even so come. Verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 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 Over and over again. Letter after letter at the end. Amen. Close another letter. Amen. Finish another epistle. Amen. Amen. All that you have said is true. Bind yourself to it, and it will bind itself to you. You see? The promise, the reality is yours. It possesses you, and you possess it. Amen. So be it. Let it be so. See? Over, if you would, please. God binding his word and God binding his people to him. God is bound. God is bound to his people. God is bound to his word. Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 13, if you would, 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, and you'll notice, please, when you come to the end, Corinthians, remember, they have a problem, they need to, verse 5, 13 and 5, they need to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. Prove, put yourself to the test, test yourself. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now what's it all about? It's about being saved in the church age, that Jesus Christ, you received him as your Savior. Now, did you receive him in your heart? Then, amen. Verse 14, 13, 14. All the saints salute you. Verse 13, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen. Bind yourself. Is Christ in you? Then be bound to him. He is bound to you. Bound, 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 bound. The hand belongs to the body. The body belongs to the hand. The head belongs to the hand. The hand belongs to the head. Bound. Amen. Unique oneness. Unique oneness. As my father and I, over John 17. John 17. If you would. John 17, and in verse, picking up the thought, please, in verse 21. What is the whole business of this glory business? Remember verse, the prayer, the relationship to God. That they all may be one, as thou, like how, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they, why? That they maybe have a oneness, even as we are one. So we aren't talking about something. We aren't talking about a little piddly thing. Thing, you know, marriage, one, two will be one flesh. That's true. But that's all temporary and terminal. It all ends. Yeah. You know, are you talking about that? No, I'm trying to tell you that helps you understand the mystery of what? The mystery of the church, which is to be, Ephesians 5, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, my body, unique oneness. Uh-huh. Thus, verse 22, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. I want them to know the oneness. Well, how am I going to know it? They're going to know it because of your oneness. Bound to God. God bound to you in Christ. What can separate you from the love of Christ, God? Nothing. I'm one with him in Christ. I didn't do it. God did it. God made me able to be in his Son. And God put himself in his Son. So in the Son of God, God and I come together as one. As one. Wow. A oneness. Bound. Amen. Always amen. Thus. Over if you would. If you would, chapter 3. Bound. Now, you want to understand and keep in mind as we close. God supports, amen, the word support. God supports his word. His word supports God. God's word supports the believing heart. And the believing heart supports his word. We support his word. And his word supports me. Huh? Amen. Wow. And thus. So here we are. God supporting his word. The word supporting God. And I am able to go and be and take and say amen. I am supporting God. Amen. So be it. I support God and his word. All the while, God's amen. God supports me, and his word supports me. So here I am holding this, but actually I'm being supported by God and his word. Amen. Wow. John 3. How did that happen? John 3, verse 3. Gospel of John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, which is amen, amen, used 51 times in the Gospel of John, 25 times, it's double, just like you're reading now. Verily, verily, 25 times. And then there's one lone one at the end to make 51. Now, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is that a truth? Absolutely. God said, so be it. So be it. How about varying it? How about making it a no? There is no varying. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How about a little exception? How about a little variety? A little tolerance? No. Amen. Amen. It must be. Verily, verily, amen, amen. It must be. Well, couldn't we change it? No. No. It's bound. Bound to God, and God is bound to it. He's bound to his word. That's a marvelous thing, you know, because God's going to keep his word about you. He's bound to it. Bound to it. Wow. Now, having said that, over, if you would, over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. God, the living creatures are all saying amen to all of the magnificence of God the Son, God the Father, the magnificence of all of the qualities, the godliness of God, godness, the awesomeness of God. Wow, awful big. Romans chapter 11, picking up, you know, when the ending of Israel there, and you come. Verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment, his ways past finding out. Boy, you're something else, God. That's right. Now, verse 36, the end of that section. For of him, he's the source. Through him, he's the agent. How does any of it ever going to work out? He makes it possible. And why is it all going to work out? Why is he bound to it? Because it is to him. He is the object. He started it. He keeps it going. He makes it work out. And he's doing it all for himself, for his own glory and his own honor. For him, of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. So be it. So be it. Wow. God, you're bound. Bound to be who you are. God, I want you to be all that you are, all that you have said. Fulfill your word and thus fulfill yourself. Fulfill yourself by your word. Take your word and yourself in my heart and fulfill yourself. See? God, be to me all that you are. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. In closing, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And you'll notice, please, chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, you're familiar. Let it sort of sink in, perhaps, for you. Now unto him, 3:20 Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that. You would never write like that, would you? God does. God can do that. We can't put those words in. We don't know how to do that. Nothing's that big to us. Nothing's that important to us. You see? We don't understand. Wow. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, beyond anything in our little head or heart, according to, how are you going to do it? According to the power, the ability that is working in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, you're going to do that. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now unto him, thus, here we're sitting here this morning. Now unto him be glory in the church, that's the place, in the assembly. How so? By way of our Lord Jesus Christ. How long? How long is this going to take? Throughout all ages, world without end. And by the way, that particular expression, as we read in Revelation 5, forever and ever and ever, and Revelation 4, forever and ever, it's that and bigger than that without getting into it. That whole expression is like this. Wow. To him be glory. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen, 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 amen. To all generations. Amen. Wow. Amen. Where? In the church. It isn't a club. It isn't a social club. It isn't a place where we come. No, we're believers. If you're seeking God, you come. If you fear God, you come. If you believe in God, you come. Because that's where believers belong, assembled together on the Lord's Day in His presence. And that's what you're looking for. God to be God to you today. What do you think of that? Work, home, school, little, big, young, old. That's right. God be to us all that you are. That's what it's about. You know, the church. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you for your grace and kindness, and thank you that the living creatures, our God, echo out forever into the eternal foreverness. Amen, so be it. Let it be so. Be exactly who you are forever and ever and ever. Be to us all that you have made possible in the person of Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. That we would have the privilege being here to anticipate being there forever and ever and ever. And our God, that we might look to you, that we might look to you and rest in your finished work. We're here, waiting to be there. And God, it is a privilege we have to understand then that we might appreciate now as we gather together in the local assembly to honor you, to honor your person and work. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, Spirit of God, honor our Father, and we'll thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict them, convince them the need of receiving Him. For there is none other, no other that can save as you can. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing a stanza. Appreciate your patience. Number 51, 5-1. Let's stand together.